Hi, this is Peter Clayton. Thanks for tuning into Land at FM today. Our special guest is Joyce Gioia, and she is the strategic business futurist and president of the Herman Group. And Joyce is co-author of 5 books, including Impending Crisis, Too Many Jobs, Too Few People, and How to Become an Employer of Choice. Joyce, welcome to Land at FM.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Peter.
Can you first tell us a little bit about the Herman Group and what you do?
Certainly. We are workforce and workplace futurists. We issue a weekly Herman Trend Alert, which focuses on one trend that's in the workforce and workplace arena. We also conduct research and focus a lot on employee retention.
Well, certainly that is a huge topic today. Retention seems to be getting everyone's attention, as well as engagement. Those two things are very much at the top of a number of people that we've been talking to anyway. And I know that,
I was just going to say it has everything to do with what's going to be happening in our workplace very soon, because very soon we're going to see unprecedented churning again, similar to what we saw in the late 90s.
What are the factors that are leading up to this, Joyce?
Oh, there are a number of them. But the biggest one is that people feel abused. People feel that they've been abused by their employers. The Society for Human Resource Management tells us in their latest study that about 75% of the folks who are working today are unhappy and are ready to bolt. And will, when they see that there are jobs out there for them. They've been doing what we call corporate cocooning up to now. They've been staying in the safety and security of their warm corporate cocoons. They don't like their jobs. They don't like their bosses. They don't like their coworkers. They don't even like the logo on the building. But they're staying because they're scared. They've been staying there, and very shortly, they're going to be a whole lot less scared, in part because we're seeing some very positive signs from the economy, very positive signs from the job market. We're seeing all kinds of jobs being created today here in the United States.
Yeah, I know that the Herman Group works primarily with corporations in helping them try to figure out how to do this retention piece, right? Isn't that basically what you guys do?
That is a major part of our business, yes. We're also instrumental in helping organizations become employers of choice.
Uh-huh. Well, what kind of reaction are you getting from your clients and from, you know, perhaps potential clients these days? Mm-hmm. What are you hearing out there? What kind of market intelligence are you getting?
Well, it's really interesting what's happening, Peter, because we're getting a lot of activity, but then when push comes to shove, not all of that activity, they're not always willing to pay to get the retention that they said that they wanted. So it's a matter of just how much pain that the folks are feeling right now, that the corporate executives are feeling. And the more pain they feel, the more they're going to need us. And the more they're going to be willing to pay to have us. But, you know, the truth is that our fees are a fraction of the savings that organizations realize when they're able to hold on to their good people. Because turnover is one of the most expensive costs too many organizations. It's just amazing. Turnover has been gauged to cost between 2 and 7 times salary.
That's a lot.
There's also another national indicator of what's been going on, and that is that the unemployment rate has been dropping. But when you look at the metropolitan statistical areas, the MSAs, that the Bureau of Labor Statistics looks at every month, the picture is even more dramatic. because right now we have over 235 markets with under 5.0% unemployment. Now, that's out of 367. So it's really the majority of the markets are under 5.0%. And economists tell us that full employment is between 4.5 and 5.0%. So it's just a matter of probably a very short time until we see the unprecedented churning in the labor market that the Herman Group has been forecasting for literally a couple of years.
Yeah, it's certainly, Joyce. Every study that we've seen, I mean, the Wall Street Journal came out with one that I think it's something like 76% of the executives out there are ready to jump ship. They're fed up. They're just waiting for the right opportunity, and they're out there actively looking. That's a huge, huge number.
It is. It really is. And companies don't have a clue. That most organizations just don't have a clue what's about to hit them. I happened to speak for one last week that does have a clue, and it was very refreshing. I was actually out in Richland, Washington, speaking to Ariva, which is a company that makes, actually a division of Ariva, and the company makes the pellets and the rods that go into nuclear reactors. And they're looking to hire another 300 people within the year. And they have no idea where they're going to get those skilled folks. Because we have, right now, right here in the United States, skilled labor shortages that are really beyond people's imaginations. If you ask most organizations today, there are some job openings that they cannot fill. It's not a matter of not wanting to fill them. They simply cannot fill them. They've been trying for months, and they simply can't find the skilled people that they need. And by the way, to their credit, they're not hiring warm bodies. Many organizations learned that lesson in the late 90s.
In that same kind of context, Joyce, I mean, we talked to Tony Lee recently from Career Journal, and for the last 5 years, corporations have just been able to sit and wait for the perfect fit. They want to hire people that have exactly all of the skills that they're looking for in that position. And
correct.
And at this conference I attended, the Kennedy 2005 conference in New York,
on recruiting.
Yeah, on recruiting, and you know, it's an audience made up of, you know, human resource professionals and recruiters. You know, everyone in that audience, Tony said, how many people in this room are having difficulties filling positions? And virtually everyone raised their hands. Now, you know, what I see on my end with a lot of very experienced, very qualified people is a tremendous amount of frustration because they're interviewing for jobs and they may have one thing missing from their resume. And that one thing has kicked them out. And Tony kind of feels that corporations are going to have to come around a little bit and maybe you get 8 out of 10 things that you're looking for with a candidate, but you're going to have to be a little bit more flexible and you may have to train somebody in something, you know, to be able to fill those positions as this job market tightens. Are you seeing that kind of reception out there?
I'm in full agreement with Tony. And what's going to happen as the market tightens more and more is that folks who are good, the top talent, is not going to wait around for XYZ organization to make up their mind. They're going to be history. They're going to be gone. And when you talk to recruiters, as we have, what we've heard is that the window of opportunity that they used to have has been closing significantly fast, very fast. And that is that if they don't make up their minds, like right away, that candidate is gone. That candidate has already taken a position with somebody else.
Why is it, Joyce, that these companies just don't seem to get this whole retention issue? I mean, it just kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and there are a couple of reasons. One is that companies have been very busy for many years blaming human resources for their inability to retain employees. And that's ridiculous, because retention is not just an HR issue. It's a management issue, in fact. It's everybody's business. It's as if they've been expecting HR to solve this problem when, number one, it isn't HR's problem, and number two, HR really isn't given the resources to do, in general, what they need to do, which is to train the supervisors, managers, and executives to hold on to the good people. Because people join companies and leave supervisors. We know that. We've heard that for years. Study after study has confirmed that. And the second part of it is that they don't really understand what turnover is costing. I have had people in our employee retention specialist program, and we are actually the only organization in the country to be training employee retention specialists. And in that program, invariably, we've had one person from a fairly large company who is there because there's one position that turns over a lot. And we sit there and we do the math, and one of the last times that we did the math for this one position, and we're talking about a household name insurance company, and for obvious reasons, I'm not going to tell you who it is, it was costing this insurance company off the top line over $1.5 billion because they were turning over so many people in these customer service positions.
Wow, that's an enormous amount of money.
$1.5
and that's just one
billion
company.
Dollars. One company, one position.
And what are they doing to try to solve that?
Not a whole lot. The young woman came back from our seminar. She showed it to them in dollars and cents. And it was like, well, that's all very well and good. Next. And it's almost as if they just don't believe it. Now, I will tell you that we have some of our clients who consider us their secret weapon. And when they have done the math and they have worked on retention, what they've discovered is that it pays for itself at least five times over.
Yeah, and you know, sort of in the same vein, there's Dr. John Sullivan has an article up on Electronic Recruiting Exchange, ERE's website, that he's been doing a tremendous amount of research on Google. And Google is changing the paradigm completely in many areas, and one of them has to do with hiring. I mean, if you read this article and you look at the benefits that Google offers its employees, it is absolutely astounding.
Yes.
You know? And they don't have a problem with retention. They don't have a problem with employee engagement. Their employees are engaged because one of the things they do is give everyone 20% time to go and do their own projects, and then they, you know, fund those projects. So when you have that kind of environment, and they also, by the way, and this is something that you brought up, they fund HR and make sure that HR has the money and the resources it needs to do the recruiting that they want it to do.
Yes, it's too bad there aren't more companies like Google, but let me share with you that we're seeing a definite trend toward becoming more employee-centered. And why? Because companies are going to have to take those steps. Do you remember what it was like in the late 90s when people were jumping from job to job? There were lots of positions open. In fact, we had a surplus of about 4,737,000 jobs in the United States at that time, in the year 2000. And you could, if you were a good person, you could pretty much write your own ticket. Well, those times are very rapidly returning. And what we're going to be seeing is increases in benefits, certainly the hiring bonus coming back, which, by the way, we don't approve of. We call that mercenary Darwinism.
Really?
Yeah, we wrote about it in our book, Impending Crisis, Too Many Jobs, Too Few People. And it has to do with offering money to people, basically bribing employees to work for you. And we think it's a really bad idea, because what happens when that person's contract is up is that either that person is going to be looking elsewhere for more money, which is more than likely the case, or going to be demanding of you a retention bonus to stay. We believe that there are better ways to attract and retain people, similar to the kinds of initiatives that Google is taking.
Yeah, but Joyce, isn't it true that a number of companies, especially those who go to recruit at top-tier MBA programs, are all offering signing bonuses to these very hot candidates coming out of the top tier, you know, the Kellogg's and Stanford's and, you know, Harvard's, out of these top MBA programs? Isn't that pretty much a standard practice?
It doesn't make it smart.
True. That's true.
I mean, let me give you some examples.
Okay.
Of the kinds of things that some of the employers of choice are doing. There's an organization in Cape Coral, Florida, called Lee Memorial Health System, and they have an emerging leaders program where they are literally giving their emerging leaders a mini MBA, and it's really a micro mini MBA, because they're taking them off of their regular jobs for 3 weeks and just giving them lots and lots of good personal and professional development. And it's not all at one time. It's like week intervals, three during the course of the year. And it grows the emerging leaders. It bonds them to the organization. It makes them better leaders so that they're better at retaining their people. And everybody wins.
Right.
There's another employer of choice, speaking of perks and money kinds of things, out in Beverly Hills, California. The name of the firm is Motec. It's run by a woman named Ann Price, really interesting woman, who spent a lot of time on kibbutzim in Israel. And she has a very collaborative way of working with her employees. And Anne has everybody supporting everybody else in the organization. So every week you set goals. You create a set of goals for yourself. If by Wednesday you're not well on your way to accomplishing those goals, then it's incumbent upon you to ask for help from one of the other people. And by the way, she only hires the best people, and she can get the best people because it's such a wonderful environment to work in.
What does her company do, Joyce?
Well, they do inventory software.
Uh-huh.
They are one of the top providers of inventory software in the country. Not big, but it's like a boutique shop that does great work. But at the end of the week, actually, whether you've made your goals or not, $100 is put into a special account for you. And at the end of the year, you receive $5,000 and 1 month off. And you must take that money and go travel and see the world and expand your horizons and learn about new things. But you're not allowed to use that $5,000 as a down payment on a house, or to use that $5,000 to pay for kids' schooling or anything else that's really critical in your life. You must use it to have fun, basically.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great idea.
She and as well as another organization that's been named an employer of choice, which is the Fresno Surgery Center in Fresno, California. By the way, they have very, very little turnover. I think it's under 1% at the Fresno Surgery Center. And for a healthcare organization, that's literally unknown. They have a waiting list of nurses who want to work there. And if you work for the Fresno Surgery Center, there is such a thing as a free lunch. Anne does something slightly different now, but there is such thing as a free lunch. And what Anne discovered, and she actually did a study on it, was that when she gave her employees a hot lunch and she asks them to subsidize it to the tune of something like $10 a week or something like that, when you actually make sure that people eat well at lunch, they're more productive and they get sick less often.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Yes, it is.
You know, this brings up another point, Joyce. And in all of these studies that I have seen, from ExecuNet, from Towers Perrin, from the Wall Street Journal, money is never the number one issue in any of these retention or engagement studies. It's always something else that has to do with personal growth. It has to do with their coworkers and the management and the encouragement and the training. It's never money.
That's absolutely right on. It is not money. Actually, for the lowest wage workers who are just eking out an existence, it is money, and there's no question about it. And there are some companies that are not paying their people enough, but it's very, very few. And when employees in exit interviews will tell you that they're leaving because of money, it's probably not the case. It's probably because there was a problem with their boss, or they weren't feeling fulfilled, they didn't see how what they did made a significant contribution to the bottom line of the organization, they didn't feel valued. There are any number of reasons. I could actually go over the five reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah.
Why people leave one job and go to another, if you'd like.
Sure.
Reason number one is it doesn't feel good around here. Now, this drives executives crazy. They say to us, what do you mean it doesn't feel good around here? We provide a place to work, good lighting, it's pretty well cleaned. And what do you mean it doesn't feel good around here? And what people are talking about there is the culture.
Uh-huh.
Because you and I have both walked into organizations where there was such an air of hostility between the employees that you could literally cut it with a knife, it felt like. And there are a lot of organizations that have silo mentalities where people fear for their jobs, and so they don't share information. And in those organizations, it simply doesn't feel very good.
Right.
The second reason is they wouldn't miss me if I were gone. And that has everything to do with the fact that employees don't feel appreciated, they don't feel valued, and when they don't, there's no reason for them to stay. There are lots of other companies that will welcome them with open arms and will value their presence. Number three is I don't get the support that I need to get my job done. I don't get the tools and equipment. I don't get the information that I need to get the job done. My boss doesn't coach me to higher performance. He tells me what to do. That's not what today's workers are looking for. They want to feel supported. They want to feel in on things. They don't want to feel like mushrooms, mushrooms who are left in the dark and heaped over with lots of fertilizer.
Right.
People want to be part of what's happening in the organization. Communication is such an issue for so many organizations. We've taken to calling it the C word, even.
And most companies do not communicate well at all. I mean, with
absolutely.
Their employees, and
absolutely.
It's a huge problem.
And I know that some of your clients, Peter, have actually had you do some films, as I recall, to help them, and you've worked with them possibly on internal newsletters.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the best companies out there communicate. And I'll give you one quick example. I spoke with a woman who is a senior consultant with the Great Place to Work Institute, which does the Fortune 100 list. Wegmans was number one this year, and they over-communicate. Their employees really know what is going on, and the communication comes from the top of the organization. The top of the organization goes out and visits all of their stores every year, and really, you know, spends a tremendous amount of time with the employees to make sure that they are engaged, to make sure that they have what they need. And, you know, you look at that kind of an organization, you look at JetBlue, Why is JetBlue successful? Well, for a lot of reasons. One has to do with the fact that the management of that company feels that the employees are their most valuable asset, and the employees really believe that's true, and it is. People aren't stupid. They know when something comes across the transom is just a bunch of garbage from upper management trying to appease people, or whether it's genuine, you know?
Absolutely. Very true. Employees have a sixth sense about things. They know when it's that seven-letter word that means so much, nonsense.
Right.
As opposed to something that's real, that communicates that the upper-level management wants them to be in on what's happening.